shepherds raised up and brought down kings. The Word made rocks and living things, and all creation sings an Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. We begin today an examination of the Gospel according to John when Jesus explains who he is to the people by saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger." Jesus is dividing out. He is teaching those who will hear him, believe in him because he is sent from the Father, and that he is the Son of God. The crowds are seeing his miracles. Last week, he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This week, they come, the crowds, and they say, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" They want a second sign. The first one was not good enough for them. He talks to them of manna that was given to them in the desert by God to feed his people when they were starving, his people who grumbled for bread. "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray that in the Our Father all the time. And yet, the multiplication of loaves and fishes, the Our Father, "Give us this day our daily bread," and Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," all point to one thing, something very mysterious, something never seen before, something that he was going to give us on Holy Thursday. He was going to give his body and blood in bread and wine. It's interesting, when the fathers reflected on the Our Father, they noticed something that we would not notice when we say the prayer, and that is that there's a word right in the center of the prayer that we have translated into English as "Give us this day our daily bread." But that is not what it says in the Greek New Testament. It says epiousion, beyond being. So what the prayer actually says is rather mysterious sounding, and it's easier for us to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." But what it is saying is, "Give us each day super substantial bread, bread that is beyond being, bread that is of reality in a very different form." And that reality is the Eucharist. We pray for God in the Eucharist. We pray for God in the prayer that he gives us. We pray for him, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the fathers always saw the association between the bread and wine at the Eucharist and the Our Father. So what does that tell us? This tells us that there's something greater going on here than just something simple of giving people bread and feeding them. It's feeding them in a way that nourishes their souls. We come week by week to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, sincerely believing that we are receiving the body and blood of Christ. But we have to also grow spiritually with him as he offers himself to us. Paul tells us that we must no longer live as the Gentiles do, the other people, the people who are not Christians. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard of him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. That you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth. We are asked to put on a new self, and that self is Christ himself. We are called to put on Christ, to become Christ, to become Christ for the world, so when other people see us, they will be converted to Christ because they see him in us. They see him in a special way by the good works that we do, by the righteousness of our lives, by our holiness and our perfection. Well, that's a high, high ideal. But that's what God calls us to. Be perfect like the Heavenly Father is perfect. He doesn't call us to be mediocre. He doesn't call us to be D students. He calls us to be good people, to live our lives as good Christians, as good Catholics, to become Christ in the world. That's what happens when we come to the Holy Sacrifice. We participate in the sacrifice by offering ourselves in the bread and the wine, so that we too become the body of Christ as the elements of bread and wine are transformed into his body and blood. So too we are transformed into his body and blood. Jesus says, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus has shown us the way because he is the way, the truth, and the life. This week, he teaches us a little about the Eucharist. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. In the next couple of weeks, the friction will get greater. The people in this gospel are a little bit testy. Next week, it'll get a little bit more confrontational. It's leading up to his passion. These narratives are leading to his passion, his death on the cross for the salvation of the world. Today, we have an opportunity to change our lives, not once and for all, but again, to always be open to the grace of God in our lives, to be open to his love and mercy in the sacrament of confession, in all of the sacraments, and we have an opportunity to share his love with others. May we always be the good Christians that we hope to become, so that one day we will understand what he means when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst."